Yes, the time is 16 minutes past 9, and this is the book review program with Maulana Ashraf Dakrat. We do have Maulana on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana, and once again, Jazakumullah khairan for joining us on the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, the book, The Quranic Worldview, A Springboard for Cultural Reform, seems like an interesting read, Maulana.
Yes, Maulana, this book by Abdul Hamid Abu Sulaiman is titled The Quranic Worldview, A Springboard for Cultural Reform. What the author does here is similar to many other people who have looked at the Quran. They've tried to really identify some of the principles that embody the main emphasis and the main subject matter of the Quran. And the author first starts off by discussing the present situation and our approach to the Quran and also our approach to human culture as such. And he asks a very important, that what is the Quranic worldview? How do we, through reading the Quran, develop a Quranic worldview? And he sets this discussion against the backdrop of a broader discussion about one's self and the other, in other words, how we look at ourselves and also how we look at the human race as such. And he says that together with other people, we in fact form a tapestry that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created of purposefulness, integration, coordination, and constructive interaction. And he uses Quranic verses to support this. And he says that, look, despite the fact that we are human beings as individuals, we also live with other people in this world, other Muslims in this world. And this creates a type of a unity. And also this unity then should mean that there must be a sense of complementarity. In other words, we have to work together, and this represents the Quranic view of living a loving life, a life in kindness and in compassion. And he sees no place for things like racism or any sort of discrimination based on culture or one's type of nationhood or any such thing. And he said, in fact, this can be likened to concentric and interpenetrating circles that are held together through the important principles of justice, peace, goodwill, compassion, tolerance, cooperation, and mutual support for one another. The other important aspect that he draws our attention to right in the introduction of his work is that the Quranic worldview is there to set out the main principles for our lives, and they are constants in our lives, and there are certain variables, but despite these variables of place and times, these Quranic constants create a type of a overarching support for us by which we can guide our lives under all circumstances. And he says that is the basis for any type of reform that we want to bring about in society. And he also complains that at some stage the Quranic worldview and the Islamic worldview has become distorted. And then in the most important part of the book, chapter 2, he discusses what he sees as the most important principles that are embodied in the Quranic Kareem. Obviously, any other person who will look at the Quran, and people have done this in the past, may come up with another list. But let us look at what his list is. He says that Tawheed, monotheism, is fundamental to the teachings of the Quran. Then the fact that human beings are the stewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, that we have divinely given stewardship. The third principle is the principle of justice and moderation. He says that moderation cannot go without justice, that the two aspects go together, that where you have moderation, you will have justice as well, and where you have justice, then there definitely you will have moderation going with that. And then he speaks about another twin set of responsibilities, and that is freedom and responsibility. And it shows how the two go together, that with freedom comes responsibility, and the fact that you have responsibility means that you are there and you are a free person. he shows that an important principle in Islam and the Quran is purposefulness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created us in vain, and we have to live purposeful lives, and also the entire creation is there for a very important purpose. The next principle that he draws our attention to is that of morality. He says that the Quran teaches morality, and this morality comes out of it is not something that is arbitrary, but it is something that is there in the Quran Kareem, and as a result of this morality, we are able to reach our lofty purposes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for, and it elevates really our hearts and blesses us with happiness in the course of all our endeavors. Without morality, we are really nothing. And then he spends a lot of time discussing the question of shura, mutual consultation, which he sees as an important discussion in the Quran Kareem. And he says that our entire idea that we are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Khalifa on earth, that we have this idea of stewardship, and also we have individual responsibility, and that we have to live moral lives, come with a fact that we have to live communally, and we have a social responsibility. And the social responsibility is best exemplified through the fact that we do consultation, and we're able to, through mutual consultation, we don't subject ourselves to our own whims and interests, and people of influence don't really yield all the power, but rather there's participation of the wider community, and human civilization as such benefits because of that. And he says that these two things, freedom and shura, are necessary for the survival of the human civilization. Together, they are able to keep materialism in check, they're able to keep racism in check, they're able to shun the sham democracy that we find ourselves often in, and they are able to remove the facade of this nihilistic anarchy that we live in, the phony type of research that we are always bombarded with. And he says without these things, then Muslims will lack what he calls cultural sophistication. And he draws our attention to the current state of Muslims in the world, and he says that what we have in many countries is in fact, in Muslim countries, is in fact officially sanctioned ignorance. We have officially sanctioned passivity, subservience, poverty and backwardness, and the social structure is completely worn out, it is lifeless, and the potentials of people are stunted, their vision, thought and education are completely off course, and the institutions are corrupt and ineffectual. He says that the only way we can recover our Quranic worldview is that we must improve our educational methods, and that we must put some responsibility on the Muslim community, who really possess everything, to achieve these goals despite the many obstacles that they are faced with. And he speaks often to parents in the book, and he says that parents will ultimately be able to win over their children if they show the proper determination and vision to do so. He looks at an important concept that he identifies in the Quran, and that is the concept of globalism. He says globalism is really very different from globalization. He says by definition, he says globalism is where human civilization is able to discourse with one another as brothers and sisters, and the globalism means that we are not really concerned about racism and provincialism, but rather we move beyond that. And he says that while globalization thrives on economic exploitation, globalism is to the contrary something that gives rise to communication between people, peace among individuals and societies, a sense of brotherhood and compassion, where we share the resources that we have as human beings for the benefit of others also. And he says that we must not confuse this, and we must actually shun globalization, because globalization is really where we exploit one another. There's greed, global conflicts of all sorts, and there's always this type of imperialistic and monopolistic and unjust aims in globalization. So he's an advocate of what he calls globalism and the peace that comes with it. He calls for the fact that we need to understand in Islam there is the reform and construction, but reform and construction comes with the fact that as Muslims we appreciate beauty. And he says beauty is a universal value, and beauty is really manifested in the grandeur and the masterful precision in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the visible cosmos that we live in. And for Muslims, we need to read the Quran and the Sunnah, trying to appreciate the beauty, and we need to cultivate beauty as a response to our an inner impulse that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with. So these are the type of ideas that this author has identified as important ideas and themes almost that run through the Quran Kareem. The book is about 165 pages long and has been reprinted now in South Africa.
Yes, no doubt a very interesting and captivating book, The Quranic Worldview. Ahmad, before you leave us, maybe just to inform the listeners as to where they can find this book and the price of the book.
Yes, now, interestingly enough, there's a shorter version of this book. There's what they call a summary or a brief, a books in brief. And the publishers are International Institute of Islamic Thought. This book, as I said, is just over 162, 163 pages, but then there's a 35 page, some odd pages summary of this book that is available on the Triple IT website, www.triplet.org. The book, the full book is available in most bookstores in South Africa, and has been republished in South Africa by Africa Impressions Media. This is a distribution house from Dormerton in Natal, and their webpage is Africa, Africa Impressions.co.za, and they've been republishing a number of books, and they have now distributors. They've distributed these books to a number of outlets here in the Gauteng and in KwaZulu-Natal. So these books are available. The title again is The Quranic Worldview, A Springboard for Cultural Reform by Abdul Hamid Abu Suleiman. The author is a academic, and he's been the past rector of the International Islamic University of Malaysia. He now resides in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, Jazakumullah khairan for that excellent book review, Maha. And inshallah, we hope to have you again on the program next week.
Jazakumullah ahsana jazah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.